Go ahead and locate the book of 1 John. Now, if you're still learning your Bibles, John wrote five books of our Bible. The book of John, which is part of your four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then at the end of your Bible, you got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and John also wrote the book of Revelation. So, we have. I want you to turn to that book called 1 John. The very first chapter of 1 John, verse 5, says, "This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." There was a noise in the backyard of my house one night, and I went outside to investigate what the noise was. In the shadows, I could hear something, but I wasn't brave enough to go further. Instead, I went back inside and got a flashlight. And then when I shined the flashlight on the very back corner of the yard there, I could see it was a possum. And it was ready to go its way, and I was willing to let it go its way. Okay, but the light helped me. When I'm working here and I'm one of the late ones to leave at night, I like to walk around the perimeter. Just it's something I learned a long time ago to do when I worked for a different job. I go check everything out. It's nice to have the motion lights come on. Or, in this case, some of the lights stay on more permanently at night because we've got different type bulbs, but they'll stay on. It's nice to have that light. Roy and I, one time, it's been a number of years ago, we were outside the fellowship hall. Both of us were parking down there that night, and we got into an extended conversation about the day, what was going on. And all of a sudden, there was, those of you familiar, the ditch, and then there's the fence, and then right over there is the woods. All of a sudden, we heard a big crash, like something moving. I looked at him, and he looked at me. One of us said, "Do you want to go check it out?" The other one said, "Let me know when you get back." That type thing. I didn't want to go over there in the dark and check it out. I don't know what I was going to find. It sounded like a huge crash. It could have been another possum falling out of a tree or something, or it could have been one of them bears that walk around here. But anyway, I just did not want to check it out. The next morning, we're here. Lots of light. I look over there. I got no problem walking over there now. But at dark time, the animal has its advantage because it has its night eyes, and all I got is my tennis shoes. And you know the old story. If something's chasing you and you're with somebody, you don't really have to outrun it. What do you have to outrun? The person running, right? That's all you got to do. Unless you're a gentleman and chivalry and all that stuff, then you're supposed to stop and let the other person go. So, all right, I've tried to emphasize this. When something's dark, we don't feel comfortable with it. Not many of us are creatures of the night. Matter of fact, growing up, probably one of the worst things that ever happened in America or anywhere around the world was the discovery of the light bulb. Because now, instead of kids going to bed at a decent hour, they can go out all night long because they got plenty of light. You can get in all kinds of things at night. Used to be, people went to bed pretty much. I mean, everybody got in trouble, no question about it still. But it used to be, once the sun went down, there wasn't a whole lot of hanging out there. You had to go to bed. But light has its advantages, of course, and we use it, and if you use it properly, it's a good thing. I want to talk today, as you can see this passage, talks about the light. The context of this passage probably is best if we back up to verses 1 through 4 and read them as an introduction. This is the way John opened up this letter. And these books of the Bible, a lot of them are letters that were sent to either individuals or to churches. He says here, 1 John 1, 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." Now, you know he's talking about Jesus. "The life appeared, We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Or another translation says, your joy complete. The word there is a little hard to translate. Either way, somebody's happy because of Jesus Christ and the fellowship that the Christians are sharing one with another. In that case, he then says, now, this is the message that we have heard. We move from the context there of opening it up to now move into this part. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. The message. This is what He wants them to know. This is what He wants them to be aware of. Many of you have had conversations with people. You had an agenda when you started the conversation. Here's the thing that I want you to know. I'm disappointed in you. I'm happy with you. I'm upset about something. Here's some information we've got to be aware of. You're sitting down with the wife. You say, look, finances are bad shape. We've got to watch it this month. Or, hey, we've got a little extra. Let's go do something. You sit down with a message to talk things out. Here, John is delivering a message to a group of Christians. And he's introduced here about the fact that I've got a right to tell you because I have seen, I have heard, I have touched, I'm a witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm a witness to His life. I'm witness to what He came to do. So I got the authority, the right to talk to you. Now he emphasizes, this is the message we bring. This is not a single message from John. This is the message that's coming from all the apostles, all of those who are truly followers of Jesus Christ. And it's also a message that's coming directly, of course, from God and Jesus Himself. So this is the message, and he points out here in that verse 5, this is the message we've heard from Him and declare to you. It's a message we've heard from Him and we're passing on to you. This is not a gospel that we're making up. This is not some sort of church getting together and we're writing a whole bunch of rules and regulations. This is what God wants you to know about light and darkness. And He says here that the message was from Him and we're passing it on to you. Everybody here has gotten a message from somebody. And you were supposed to pass that message on to somebody else. If you pass a different message, is it the same message? Right? Obviously, I just used same and different, so if you couldn't figure that one out, we're all in trouble there. We're supposed to pass on the same message. Have you ever set a teenager to deliver a message? And your other, their siblings or their other friends or whatever, anyway, you're talking to one of them, said, well, didn't he tell you what I told him to tell you? Well, that's not what I remember him saying. The next time, what do you do with the message? You go straight, you take it right to your, right there yourself. I mean, that's sort of what happens. Or you tell, son, repeat after me what I just said to you that you're going to tell your brother or sister. I know. And I understand. We all are getting gifted back what we did. There isn't a thing that these teenagers do in general that we also didn't do. They don't want to listen to us because experience is the best teacher, and we're warning them, yeah, we made that stupid decision too. We made that dumb mistake. We're trying to keep you from doing it. Unfortunate part about it, a lot of them still have to find out how. They have to do it themselves. They don't. But our responsibility is to deliver the message as it was given. I had a principal one time that wanted me to tell my parents a message. I didn't quite deliver it like the principal told me. And when my dad learned that, he educated me differently. Now, I did not grow up in this timeout generation. I did not grow up in this come here, son, just let me have a talk with you, and let's not do this again. I grew up in a generation in which Dad made sure you did not make that mistake again. That came in handy, because at age 16, 17, I'm driving down from Frankfort to Dykesboro, Delaware, with my sister in the car, and I'm as mad as fire because I got to take her to someplace, and I'm late for the thing I want to go to. So I whip out, and I pass this car that was slowing me down. And I whipped out and passed him, and as I got right side of him, I looked over, and it's Officer Truitt, the Frankfort Town cop, I'm in a 25 mile an hour school zone going 50. I'm passing in a no passing zone. This is not impressive, you know. So, I immediately pulled over. He comes up, calls me back to the back. Back then, you had to go back and sit in the car with him. He calls me. I go back and sit in the car. He's looking. He said, "Are you Ronnie Stewart's boy?" I had no choice but to answer yes. Yes. He said yes. I said yes. And he says, "Well, I'll tell you what. You haven't had any offenses yet. And I hate for this to be your first one." He said, "But if you will go home and tell your dad what you have done right now, if you'll go home and tell him right now, you know, then I will follow up with him later." I immediately went home. Of course, it's all my sister's fault, right? So she gets a lecture from me. But anyway, I get home, and there's Dad, and I walk up and I told him. He did not do what I expected him to do. He said, "I appreciate you telling me." He said, "Go ahead and take your sister where you need to be. You're not going to your party tonight. Come on back here." So I did. About a week later, 2 weeks later, we cleaned the Dagsboro movie theater on Saturdays and Sunday mornings. Bob and I ran the movie theater at night, the projectors, but the family would go and clean in the morning. It was nice to clean. You might find where people have left money in their seats and stuff like that. We don't seek anybody out if it's cash. Okay. So anyway, we're cleaning that two or three weeks later on that Sunday morning, and Officer Truitt comes in the door. And he comes over and starts talking to my dad. Our stories matched. Our stories matched. So I had delivered the message just like I had been given. And he was complimentary of me and everything else. And anyway, I don't want to belabor the story. The thing was, I relayed the message just like I was supposed to. John here is relaying the message just like he's been told by Jesus to deliver it. They're all telling this the way that God wants the message delivered. So they do that. And what is the message? It says in verse 5 there. What is the message, people? It says, God is what? Light. God is light. Now, if I go back there right now into the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, and I set all there, I get them all sitting around, they're all just looking at me. I said, God is light. They're going to go home and look at their flashlights. They're going to go home and flip on the switch. There's God. You know, do they fully comprehend that God is light? Do I fully comprehend that God is light? He's going to be contrasting two things here. One is something that we all cherish and want big time. The other is one of the things that brings fear in our life. So he's telling us that God is that which is going to bless us and bring us much joy, whereas darkness is not. God is light. He is not darkness. It says here in verse 5 again, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we have darkness here, we've put up the black curtains on this building several times for events that we have. And let's say we don't have the lights on in here, and you step in here. If you close the door behind you, what is it in here? It is dark. It's real dark. Somebody happens to open a door a little bit and light comes in, some of the darkness sort of goes away. If you turn all the lights on, you don't think about darkness at all. So in God is light. There is no darkness in Him. There's nothing of evil. There's nothing that can harm us. There's nothing that can hurt us. If we're in Jesus Christ, if we're in God, because God is light, there is no darkness. Well, here's what He wants us to do next. In verse 6, He says, we want to make sure the message is understood. God is light. There's no darkness in Him. God is light. The message needs to be understood. It says here in verse 6, if we claim to have fellowship with Him. Now, who is that that's claiming to have fellowship with Jesus and with God? That's Christians. We met at His table today to fellowship with Him. We brought our gifts and offerings to Him to fellowship with Him. We sang songs to fellowship with Him. We're interacting as His servants. We're fellowshipping all the time with Him. If we claim to have a true relationship with God, if we claim to have a true relationship with God through Jesus Christ, it says here then, if we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet we choose to do what? Walk in the darkness. We lie and do not live by the truth. If we choose to live in darkness, even though we claim to be in the light, and a lot of people do that. A lot of people do that. I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. And then they party like the devil all week long. They come up here And they get into a watery baptism, wherever it may be, and they say, I'm buried with Christ. I'm raised as a new creature with Christ. I am now alive. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm heaven bound. And then they live hell bound all week. People do that, don't they? Yeah, I mean, I'm not getting on your case anymore. I'm getting on mine. I'm not even really getting on your case. It's God that's saying, hey, we need to pay attention. We need to learn from our mistakes. If we're going to go out here and run with a pack of friends that's going to lead us down the road where all we can do is cuss and we're having sex with everything that's going down the pike, we're stealing, we're lying, we're selling dope, you name it, whatever. If we're going to run with that group, we can't claim to be a follower of Christ. All right? If we're going to... Now, some of us, we don't do the dark sins. We do the white sins, the lily white sins. We just gossip a little bit, right? That's all we do. We just gossip. We run down somebody with half-truths. Or, I like that one that said, if it doesn't have to be said to the individual you're talking to, why are you telling them? You know? Just because you have something that's on your heart, unless they're a real confidant with you, where you can just, when you get down, you're going to pray about the matter. If you're just going to talk negative about something, run it down for the sake of running it down, because that's the facts, that's the truth, everybody needs to hear it. How is that advancing the kingdom? Who is happy in that situation? Now, that's the only one I know of, is the devil. And of course, you're not. If you did any sin, it's not really you doing it. It's what Flip Wilson used to say you did it. And for those who don't know what I'm talking about, Flip Wilson, he used to say, the devil made me do it. That's why I do these things. All right. It comes down to us. We make the decisions. And if we choose to walk in darkness, I'm going to lie a little bit. I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to have sex out there outside of marriage. I'm going to sit there and instead of using my money for God's good and helping my family and giving to Him, I'm going to spend the money on whatever I want. I buy whatever I want and do whatever I want. I'm going to do that. Because that's the middle letter of sin, isn't it? In the English language, the middle letter of sin is I. When you spend a lot of time with I, you know you're headed down the wrong path. So he says here, you cannot mix light and darkness. If I go to a closet and peek in and it's dark, but I flip the light on, what is it now? So you can't mix the two. You can't mix it. If you're in the shadows, you're in the dark, get out of that mess. Satan is trying his best to pull you away. Go, if you can, turn to the book of John. Not 1 John here, the book of John. Go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 3. Very familiar. It comes right off the heels of a couple verses that we're used to there. We're used to John 3:16. But at this time, you'll go to John 3:19. John 3:19. It says there, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear of his deeds being exposed. But whosoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what he has done and has been done through God. Turn over to John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. John 12, verse 35. Jesus told him, "You know, you are going to have the light with you just a little longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he's going. Put your trust in the light while you have it so that you may become sons of light." When he finished speaking, Jesus left them and hid himself from them. When you got light, walk in light. Don't seek to walk in darkness. We tell the teenagers, don't double date if you can. You're less likely to do things you shouldn't do. Come in at a decent hour. You know, a lot of things, more bad things happen after 11 o'clock than they do before 11. You know, I'm pretty sure if everybody went to bed at 11, we'd be saying the same thing about 10 o'clock. But still, 11, a lot of bad things happen. We tell, stay out of the back seat. You know, a couple of dating. Stay out of the back seat. I know the moon looks nice, but stay out of the back seat. Why are we warning you? Hey, people. My mother became pregnant when she was 15 years old and she was unmarried. Okay? I mean, I'm pretty sure somebody told her, stay out of the back seat. Guess what she told me when the time came? Stay out of the back seat. I'm not sitting here telling you that I'm right on, that I did everything right. I'm just telling you, things happen. You mix light and darkness, darkness will take over. Satan loves it. So don't mix it. That's what Jesus is telling us here. You cannot mix the two. If you go back to 1 John, verse 7, back to the book of 1 John, verse 7, he says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." He tells us that wonderful things happen. If you will read your Bible, if you will pray to God, if you will fellowship with like-minded believers, if you will worship and praise Him, if you'll seek opportunities of service, you go find somebody. I really appreciate this one lady is helping out Miss Pat McClure. Poor Miss Pat can't hardly get around. This lady every Friday goes over and makes sure she's got a shower and got something to eat, takes care of helping her pay her bills and stuff. How much trouble can you get in doing that? All right? I mean, that's just one example. All week long, I get to see people coming up here, going, doing things, serving things. They don't seem to be getting in a lot of trouble while they're doing the things of the Lord's work. It's idle hands that is the devil's workshops, is what he used to say. We get caught up in things. On the island of Crete, there, Titus was told, hey, there was a lot of women whose men were off to sea. They didn't have a whole lot to get into during the week, and they were sort of imbibing, and they got to gossiping ever. And Paul tells Titus, tell the older women to teach the younger women not to do these things. Do not be caught up in this mess. Now, that just happened to be women in that one. We all know it happens to all both genders. So please understand, we are not to have fellowship with darkness. Rather, if we're going to walk in the light, if we're going to claim to do that, then we must fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will purify us. I want to back up just a little bit to the end of verse 6 there. He says, if we claim to fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. We call that a hypocrite, right? Me as a church, here I am as a minister. At my age, I'm looking around, there's a bunch of guys that were my age, and they're retiring. They're stepping out of the pulpits. They're stepping out of the full-time ministry. They're all preaching somewhere. They're all being invited somewhere to preach, the really good ones especially. So they're being invited to preach. But during the week, they don't have the phone calls coming in. They don't have the visits they have to make. They don't have the things that they have to get done. So there's a stress relief. But they're all still serving and working the Lord. As a minister, if I decided it was time for me to step out of the active ministry here and go to doing whatever, if you found out that Ron retired from South Mills and he never went to church again, what would you think of me? A hypocrite. If you found out Ron retired and he no longer gave his money to the church, he bought all kinds of lottery tickets and spent money, eat, drink, and be merry, wild party, and whatever, what would you think of me? You would think, what did he do all those years? That had to be a flat-out lie he was living. If you're going to fellowship in darkness but claim to be in Him, then you're nothing more than lying. You make Him out to be a liar as having one who claimed you at one time. So don't do it. Stay away from this junk. There are a number of other verses that I would love to turn to. But in light of the time, I want to back off on that. I want to go to the book of John, though, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Go back to the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. Now this is John the Baptist here we're talking about. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, which is Jesus, so that through Him all men might believe. He Himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. 1 John 2:8. Yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in Him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. The light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Sometimes I get depressed. How about you? I have written out my letter of resignation I don't know how many times. I was taught in Bible college, if you're thinking about resigning, write out your letter and wait 30 days. If you're still thinking about it, then go talk to somebody and wait another 30 days. So I've written my letter of resignation out over the 32 years several times. Not because I don't love the people here. Anybody else feel like sometimes there's at your job, it's just, you wonder if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing? So there have been times when Satan's war on me and I just ready to go on. There are times when I take a look at myself as a parent. Did I do the job I was supposed to do to bring those kids up so that they would know Jesus? Their lives that they're living. Did I influence them in the right way? Did I fail? Should I have done a better job? Am I the grandparent I'm supposed to be? I'm as human as the rest of you. I take a look at everything I'm doing. How many times have I failed my wife? How many times have I let her down? How many times have I not been the husband that she should have had a right to have all along? How many times? I mean, depression, anxiety, worry, anger, I deal with all this. The only thing that keeps me on the straight and narrow to the degree that it has is the light of the world. When I look into Scripture, when I look into my brothers and sisters who are men and women of faith, that lifts me up. When I hang out with Christians who want to praise God, you know, I got real depressed about Wednesday night Bible studies. I got real depressed. I mean, when it got down to one person coming on Wednesday night, I was, you know, I could not get anybody to come. I couldn't even get my own wife to come. Couldn't get the leadership to come. Couldn't get myself. I wasn't even motivated to come after a while. I am as thrilled as I can be. The other night, we had 14 here Wednesday night, and 7 regulars were not here. I was just as happy as I could be. Sharing fellowship, enjoying the light of the Word of God, and people wanting to learn about it. And I've been watching the Sunday school attendance is drifting a little bit up. The light is getting out there. Our AM attendance, it had dropped right down, probably because of poor preaching or something, but anyway, it had come down. Right now, it's kind of drifting back up. These things are encouraging. Preachers live and die off statistics, don't we? But what I live and die off of is when I get done with those meetings and times, people tell me about what Jesus is doing in their lives. The light of the world. He came to bring us light. Would you do me a favor and flip the switch? Would you do God a favor and flip the switch and get as much light into your life as possible? Because if you're living by the light, Satan's darkness cannot come in. He'll have nothing to do with you. Tell him to get behind you. Jesus is the light of the world. Is He the light of your life? Jesus is calling you. You need to respond to Him. You need to believe Jesus is the Christ. You need to believe that with all your heart, soul, and mind. Every ounce of your being needs to believe that He is the Christ. Because if you believe that, nothing can hold you back from serving. But you need to believe that. Repent of your sins. Confess Him as Lord of your life. We believe the New Testament teaches immersion. Because on the day of Pentecost, when the people asked what they should do, Peter said, repent and be baptized. So if you want today, come. We will baptize you into Christ. What happens at baptism? You'll be clothed with Christ. Your sins will be washed away. Your name will be written in Lamb's Book of Life. You'll be part of the Church of God for all time. For those of you that are already immersed believers, but sin comes some way back into your life, you've turned your life over to Satan again for some reason, you're following the ways of the world, whatever terms you want to use. I know you're not happy in that state. You can't be. It's got to be an inner turmoil. Repent. Whatever sin it is you're committing, and ask God for forgiveness. As an immersed believer, you have access to the throne of grace and mercy. He'll grant it. If you need our prayer support, come. We'll pray with you about the matter. Some of you are immersed believers, but you haven't placed your fellowship with us. fellowship. Consider doing that. Come, place your fellowship. And for the rest of us, we need to kick ourselves in gear. There's places we need to serve. There's things that need to be done. We need to push hard in our prayer life. We need to push hard in our Bible study life. We need to get ourselves on fire in our personal walk with Him and in our church walk with Him.